Chapter 6. Negotiating. The story, working for it. Both my wife and I craved another investment. We had some savings in our bank account, and even though it felt nice having it there, we figured it would feel better investing in a property that could help increase our cash flow. An increased cash flow would mean increased passive income, which would make it less necessary to work on the side. As with most mornings, we started with coffee together before hitting the computers to look for new deals. Deals that started getting harder and harder to find. Wherever we looked, prices kept creeping up, and whenever good deals became available, they had multiple offers on them in no time. This wasn't good. We had 5 houses in Florida at the time, and we knew we would need more in order to live off the income they produced. Feeling the need to buy more houses during a market when prices were taking off pushed us to be a bit creative about it. Since we always liked driving around, we got in our car and started thinking out loud. There would be several buyers interested in every house that was advertised, and all those buyers putting in bids would push the prices up. The last ones we heard about were sold for way above asking prices we already found pretty high. Given the poor results in our computer searches, it didn't take us long to figure out that we needed another approach. A way in which to avoid getting caught in bidding wars. A way that let us negotiate with the sellers alone. We pulled into Chipotle, ordered 2 bowls, and sat down outside in the shade. If we were to buy something that wasn't on the market, we knew we would need to avoid all properties listed by realtors. That ruled out the majority of deals that could be found online. Our only chance to negotiate and get hold of a good deal would be through a direct relationship with an owner who is motivated to sell. All we had to do was figure out a way to find one. As always, our computers ended up being our initial go-to for research, but we could only find a few private sellers that had already gotten plenty of attention. Not very exciting. What else? Or rather, where else? Where could we find the type of sellers we needed to make a deal happen? We needed to do something. Figure out a way to get out there and find things others couldn't see. It couldn't have hit us more clearly. We needed to get back in the car. We needed to drive. We needed to swing by Dunkin' Donuts for a coffee and then just drive around until we saw something. Light music in the background, the climate control set to perfection, and a fresh cup of coffee in our hands made for a very nice time. We drove up and down street after street looking for areas we liked, and after a little while, we started noticing some pretty rough houses in fairly good neighborhoods. There could be deals there. The driving was tiring, but we kept at it for a few hours a day the following week. We would find big signs on the properties listed by realtors, and call on some of those to get an idea of the prices in whichever neighborhood we were in. We would also find for rent signs outside some houses, then call those people and ask if they were willing to sell. Several of them were actually happy to make a deal, but none of that worked out for us this time. More driving. Up one street, down another. More signs. Mostly by realtors, but we would occasionally run into something very beautiful. A sign saying, "For sale by owner." We started loving those little red signs with big white letters, and it felt like a victory every time we found one. I would drive while my wife called and asked about the properties. We would go on and on, make call after call until one day when the seller we had been looking for came along. We stopped by the street where there was a small sign with those wonderful words we had started to fall in love with, "For sale by owner." The average price in the area was around $100,000. We saw a realtor's sign at the neighboring property and found out they were asking closer to $120,000. All other houses on the street were occupied by what looked like decent people, and the house itself looked pretty good. So we made the call. Turns out the owner was an older gentleman living a few hours away. He had bought the house for his daughter when she was about to have kids with some guy he didn't seem to like very much. The relationship between his daughter and that guy had gone south, and the daughter had moved back to her dad. The house was just sitting vacant, and it was full of stuff no one wanted. Neither he nor his daughter had been there for months, and all they wanted was to get it sold. He also made it clear that he did not like realtors and wanted nothing to do with them. If we wanted the house, we would have to sort out the closing, make sure all paperwork was right, and just give him his money so he could walk away and not have to think about it anymore. Wow, sounds like a pretty good starting point for negotiations. So, how much money were you hoping to walk away with? $58,000. My wife and I looked at each other and knew we had found a gold mine. The man wanted $58,000 for a house that was worth close to $100,000 in its current state. That would have been a really good deal, but it would be nice if it could have been even better. What if we could push it even further? We told the man it was a very reasonable price, but we would have to think about it. This was a little scary, but knowing how badly he wanted to sell without any hassle, and knowing we were the only ones who had seen his for sale sign, we decided to give it a go. However, the actual negotiations would have to wait until we had seen inside. After being shown around the property by his other daughter who still lived in the area, we called him back. I told him we loved the house and wanted to buy it, but probably wouldn't be able to pay as much as he wanted. We knew it was a bold move, but we figured he would at least listen, as we were the only buyers he had at that point. Our plan was to see if we could get him to lower the price by catering more to the way he wanted the deal to be done, or at least how we thought he wanted it to be done, namely fast and smooth, since there was no smoother way than paying cash and having an attorney do all the paperwork at our expense. We offered just that. We let him know we were cash buyers and that we could close within days if he agreed to meet us at a price under $50,000. Our first offer was $45,000, which we knew was too low. Luckily, he took it well and gave us a counter of $52,000. We told him thanks for being so generous, but let him know that in order to get a quick closing, we would have to pay cash, and because of this, the price would have to come down a bit more. A few minutes of silence, and then his final offer. A good offer that we decided to jump on. We made an agreement, and what an agreement it was. We ended up buying a $100,000 house for $48,000. The property needed some minor work that took us 10 days and cost $2,000 to fix. When done, we found some nice tenants and rented the property for $10,000 a year. Not bad for a $50,000 investment during a real estate market that was about to head through the roof. We still own the house, and we are still making a great income from it. The story in numbers. Monthly income. Rental income equals $825. Vacancy loss equals 5%. Total income equals $784 per month. Monthly expenses, cost of owning a house. Taxes equal $13. Insurance equals $35. Repairs and maintenance equal $25. Management fee equals $0. We manage the property ourselves. Loan payments equals $0. We paid cash. Utilities equals $0. Paid by tenants. Total expenses equals $73 per month. The house creates a monthly profit of $784 minus $73 equaling $711, which equals a yearly profit of $8,532. The cash-on-cash return is calculated by taking the annual cash flow, rental income minus expenses, and dividing that with the money spent on buying and renovating the property. In this case, that meant the $48,000 purchase, plus $2,000 closing costs paid by us, plus $2,000 in renovations. A total of $52,000. The cash-on-cash return is $8,532 divided by $52,000, equaling 0.164 or 16.4%. The facts. Your goal is to buy a house that makes you a lot of money. In order for you to buy that house, someone needs to sell it. For a deal to take place, you, as a buyer, have to agree with the seller on price and terms. Finding sellers who are willing to sell you their property under market value allows you to create immediate equity. That helps minimize potential losses if the market declines shortly after your purchase. In order to buy a property under market value, you will most likely have to negotiate. For successful negotiations to take place, you need to know what you want and try to get as close to that as possible. Who has the power? There can be an up market, a down market, and houses can be sold off the market. You can buy from friends, strangers, banks, or companies. Properties can be in terrible condition, perfect condition, or somewhere in between. All these things come into play when you are about to negotiate. For a real chance to influence the price significantly, you will have to be one of the few buyers with a seller who is motivated to sell. As you enter discussions about the price, you will benefit from knowing how powerful your position is. Are you the only buyer, or are you competing with others? Has the seller been trying to sell for a long time? Is the seller in need of quick cash? In times of strong real estate markets, you will see more buyers for every house that is listed through realtors. As a result, you will be bidding against other buyers and pay market price. If there is a slower market where houses remain unsold for a long time, or if you buy houses that aren't on the market, things are different. You will have a lot more power on your side, and as a result, you can push a bit harder to make the deal better for you. There should always be two winners. Your opponent might not always be aware that every good deal has two winners, so it's up to you to ensure that rule is followed. That means if you pay too much or too little, you have done something wrong. You shouldn't take advantage of people who are desperate to sell. Be fair, be good. Make sure it's a good deal for you, but avoid being rude to or hurting someone. If you find yourself trying to avoid people you have done business with, you are being too ruthless. No one wins like that in the long run. The word negotiation originates from Latin, and also means a discussion aimed at reaching an agreement. People throwing lowball offers left and right are not negotiating. The start of your negotiation should be to find out why the seller is selling and how they would like the deal to look. What would they like to walk away with? What would they like the future of the property to be? Make a serious effort to understand what they want and value. I know this can be a lot harder with a realtor in the middle, but that's not an excuse. The realtor will have some information for you, and trust me, any information you can get is of value. As professional negotiator Clive Rich mentions, successful negotiation is 80% preparation. Once you have a good idea of who you are dealing with and what their ambitions are, try to alter your offers to fit the sellers as well as possible. Let's say the seller wants money quickly because they are trying to close on a new property. This might give a cash buyer a lot of advantages over someone waiting for financing. A cash buyer might be able to negotiate a deal that is a lot better than someone waiting for a lender's approval. As a general rule, the final price ends up somewhere between the seller's asking price and your first offer. Start by offering a little less than you are willing to pay. Then go back and forth until you agree on a number everyone involved is comfortable with. If your seller is difficult to deal with, just stay calm and stand your ground. Statistics have shown that people will be much more willing to reach an agreement if they have invested time and emotion in a deal. Get started by contacting sellers. Ask questions. Ask them to show you the property again. Give them offers and stay in touch. Remember to always be respectful. Look the people you are talking to in the eyes. Make sure you have a good, firm grip when you shake hands, and always stay humble. If you come across difficult people, remember that they are most likely equally difficult for everybody else. If you can develop patience and skills to deal with difficult people, there are lots of good deals that others will avoid because they don't have that patience. Dealing with real estate agents. Buying from a real estate agent can be challenging, as they tend to be very good negotiators. And no wonder, negotiating is their job. However, real estate agents can be more of a friend than some might think. Most realtors make their money through commission. They get paid for making deals happen. That means buyers are more important to them than they like to admit. The buyers need to buy for the realtor to get paid. I always try to go directly to the listing agent. This is the seller's agent. By negotiating directly with the seller's real estate agent, you increase their commission as they don't have to split it with a buyer's agent. That helps motivate the agent to close with you. The seller's realtor is also a much better source of information and will most likely know more about what the seller is hoping the deal will look like. When there is public bidding, you will have to offer more than others in order to get the house. If the seller takes bids without sharing them publicly, you can always ask their realtor how much you have to offer to be considered. 9 out of 10 won't say anything, but some do. A good thing about this process is that the realtor is obligated by law to present all offers to the seller. As a result, you can get away with lower offers if you have quicker closings. In order to create a good relationship with the real estate agent, always be kind, on time for meetings, and stay on their good side. They appreciate that, and if a realtor likes you, they might very well present your offer with a little more enthusiasm. As you put in offers, price will always be the most important thing. Besides price, you can throw in things that make the deal easier on the seller, like no inspection, quick closing, as is, etc. Sometimes your offer is accepted, sometimes they come back and ask for more. Sometimes they go with someone else. That's just how it goes. Action items. Try to understand the seller and cater to what they want. Always stay fair and friendly. Don't shout out that this is rubbish or that is rubbish. That will make them like you less. If they don't like you, they probably won't want to sell to you. Focus on what's good. Enhance the good, then mention your concerns very gently. Show sellers a few issues and describe how they are going to cost you money. Find valid reasons for offering a lower amount. Have fun. You won't always win, but the more you practice, the better you will get.